Guys are having a decent start to the day. It's really starting to feel like spring out there. Just hope the wind is done. I'm so sick of the wind. We're back at it, of course. Plenty to tackle here with Bishop on Air. Thanks for hanging out. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Shout out to everyone that's in the chat room so far this morning. We've got Dave DeHunter, Christopher, Sergio, Sean, Tracy, Dimitri, Captain Mike, Mike, Sebastian, IT security for the win, and more. So I appreciate you guys being here. Good morning. Lot to tackle. You've got some briefs that have been reviewed. If you guys follow Washington gun law and William Kirk, he did delve into the U.S. Supreme Court's amicus briefs that have been filed by not just the Sheriff's Association in the case challenging the gun and magazine ban in Illinois, but also you've got a whole host of other states that earlier this month also filed in support of the plaintiffs asking the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in this case challenging the gun and magazine ban. So we'll touch on that. But also we've got to talk about the latest out of Rockford, where a mass casualty event involving somebody stabbing people. Well, that 22-year-old suspect is expected in court today, and a name is being reported as the suspect in that case of a mass stabbing in Illinois. And obviously, it's going to make a lot of headlines. So that's just some of what's coming up here with Bishop on Air. Thank you guys for being here and hanging out in my home studio as I push the buttons and make sure that we get underway. All right, so stay tuned. More to come here with Bishop on Air. All right, did we reconnect? I think we did reconnect. Okay. Kay, quick question. Are you still doing the council roundup? And what happened to it? Well, you could probably find it on the traditional radio station that I had left on my own volition. But I do have some stuff in the works to continue doing the council corral. Focused on Springfield City government. It's a lot of work, but hopefully we can get back to doing some of that type of coverage. But anyways, all right, back at it here with Bishop on Air. Had a little blip there with the encoder dropping off, but people saying that we're back on, so appreciate all of that. Yes, you're very much welcome, Kay. All right, so let's get back into this, make sure my buttons are all where they need to go, and let's rock and roll, okay? Let's do it. Let's do it to it, Captain. Four are dead and seven injured in Rockford and Winnebago County after an assailant went on a stabbing spree. And it's a story that's going to grab a lot of headlines today as the 22-year-old suspect is to appear in court, according to media reports. Welcome back, Bishop on Air. I'm Greg Bishop. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and join me each weekday morning as we give you kind of a rundown of what's going on. But let's check out NBC5 Chicago, where they've got the headline here. Man accused in Rockford stabbing rampage that killed four, injured seven to appear in court. And they further go through and name the suspect, 22-year-old Christian Soto, taken into custody on Wednesday. So we saw these headlines, and it's just absolutely tragic to see people being stabbed to death. Four individuals, and the ages of those individuals ranging from a teenager to 60-plus-year-old individual. So you've got victims, 63-year-old, 15-year-old, 49-year-old, and a 22-year-old, including a postal worker and seven others stabbed, including a couple of home invasions. So getting a timeline of what happened here and seeing these charges going to be pressed raise substantial questions about, you know, you can try to, you know, we see all the time in the argument of gun regulation, gun control. You can try to control the weapon, but it's not the weapon that's causing the harm. It's the person. That's the argument people have against gun control, saying that when you have gun control, you're simply just taking away a equalizing tool from a law-abiding individual who wants to protect themselves from instances, as we're seeing in these headlines. So a pretty tough story there to tackle this morning, but definitely wanted to get you guys an update there. So Christian Soto, the suspect in this case, 22 years old, faces 12 charges, charges of murder and home invasion, and he's expected to appear in court at 1:30 today. And he's not out on bond, of course, with the state's new no cash bail. You've got individuals who are a harm to others. They can be kept behind bars. It doesn't matter if this individual is able to post $1 million. They wouldn't be able to get out because we do not have cash bond in Illinois. Clearly that's going to take a lot of headlines, and I think something that we'll all want to watch closely. So I wanted to get that out there for you here with Bishop on Air, just a brief little update, and clearly a lot more is going to be said about this story, and you know, even questions of the suspect. Is the suspect here legally? Are they you know, somebody who police have known about, who has a lengthy criminal record? Has he been arrested before? All of these things are going to be coming out in the hours and days ahead. Stay tuned. That was just a brief little thing here on this Thursday. Do keep in mind, I want to get your Discord calls. All right. So later on, we are going to open things up and talk a little bit about one particular subject, and that is the issue of guaranteed income. There was a conversation yesterday up in Chicago with state legislators about guaranteed income, and interesting stuff. So I want to hear from you, the taxpayers out there, what you think about this idea. So I'll get the staging area set up for the Discord so that you and I can have that conversation here in just a bit. But next up, let's talk about the amicus briefs filed in the U.S. Supreme Court dealing with the state's gun and magazine ban. All right, so stay tuned. That's on the way here with Bishop on Air on this Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with me. Appreciate you. Bunch of states' attorneys general telling the U.S. Supreme Court they have to intervene in the case challenging Illinois' gun and magazine ban to make it clear what the Second Amendment is all about. Welcome back, Bishop on Air. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and let's get on into it with a review of the docket for the U.S. Supreme Court in the case Barnett v. Raul. That's the challenge of the state's gun and magazine ban. But before we look at the U.S. Supreme Court's docket there, let's take a look at where we're at in the Southern District, because I think it's important that we have background on where these things are, right? So we're getting ready to talk about not just the state's attorneys general, but also others who have filed to the U.S. Supreme Court saying that they should intervene in this case challenging the state's gun and magazine ban in the U.S. Supreme Court. But the case is still going on in the Southern District of Illinois. So way back, January of 2023, right, the state enacts a ban on certain semi-automatic firearms, a registry component that goes along with that, and a variety of other prohibitions on attachments and magazines over certain capacities. That was January 10th of 2023. About a week and a half or so afterwards, you had the first case filed, and that was from Thomas Magg in the case Langley versus Illinois. And that was filed in state court, But then it was quickly transferred to the Southern District Federal Court. And then you had other lawsuits filed in federal court against the gun and magazine ban from different groups. While that was going on, you had the Beavis case in Naperville challenging not just Naperville's ban, but they amended their complaint to challenge the state's ban after it was enacted in January 2023. So you had another case out of Chicago and several others. I believe Highland Park had some cases as well. So you have this mix of cases in the Northern and Southern District. In the Southern District, you had this plaintiff's group. Four of them were consolidated by Judge Stephen McGlynn. And on a preliminary motion for an injunction, which is kind of a first step before you get to a permanent action against the law, you have to, you know, lawyers can say, hey, we want to immediately halt this law while the case proceeds because it's harming people. Judge McGlynn, he granted that preliminary injunction. And if you recall, you had 6 days where that injunction was in place prohibiting the state from enforcing the law. And that was like, what, late May or late April, early May, whenever that was happening in 2023. And then you had the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals grab the case and stay, essentially tell McGlynn that his order blocking enforcement is on hold while the case proceeds. And then the Seventh Circuit took the case. And there were requests for the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene at that time. But the U.S. Supreme Court said, no, let the Seventh Circuit deal with it. The Seventh Circuit heard the case, and then 4 months later, they issued their ruling. And their ruling essentially was, hey, on a preliminary basis, the state looks like they could be the victors in this. But they kicked it back down to the lower courts in the Southern District to deal with the merits. And that's where the Barnett case, that's the case that wraps in the Langley case, the Barnett case. You've got a State Rifle Association case in Harrell and the Federal Firearms Licensees of Illinois. So you've got these cases that are all lumped together in the Southern District, going up to the appeals courts, now back to the Southern District. But at the same time, these plaintiffs groups have asked the U.S. Supreme Court again to intervene. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So back in the Southern District, we're still waiting on the latest from Judge McGlynn in this case, Barnett v. Raul, where you have filings that are happening, including filings, you know, about expert witnesses. And some of the timeline that Judge McGlynn has laid out here includes, you know, March 27th, which is yesterday. The attorneys are to be sharing around various experts that they hope to use. Then we're going to see here in just a handful of days, respond to request by writing the discovery with which the court should be carbon copied no later than April 3rd. So these are some of the next days here that we're going to see some things happen. Just a side note, apparently the state is no longer having one of their attorneys represent them. Attorney Hal Dworkin is terminated, they said last week in a filing. So interesting to see that. So that's in the Southern District. That case is still going on because you have Judge McGlynn saying the Seventh Circuit's order has been issued. It's down back into the Southern District. We're going to deal with this on the merits. And you had even the plaintiffs and the defense saying, well, hold on, you got the U.S. Supreme Court. What could happen there? McGlynn said he doesn't care. He's moving forward with this case on the merits to build a record to then take it up. But you've got the preliminary issues that plaintiffs are asking for the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene. So while the case in the Southern District continues, you have the docket for the Barnett case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court starting to stack up here. So if you see on February 12th, the plaintiffs filed for writ. Then you had some other filings back and forth. But then you get earlier this month, the Illinois Sheriff's Association, they have filed for an amicus brief to essentially side with the plaintiffs on this. So let's go ahead and take a look at that particular document from the Illinois Sheriff's Association, where you've got questions being raised on a variety of things. So click through, and you can find all this by going to the U.S. Supreme Court's website and searching Barnett, and you'll be able to find all of these pleadings. But, you know, just looking at the table of contents can really give you a good idea of what's going on here. They talk about the Seventh Circuit's decision and how it can't be squared with the U.S. Supreme Court's precedent. The majority's refusal to recognize that the firearm and ammunition feeding devices banned by the state law are arms demonstrated its determination to undermine the court's holdings. The majority's reliance on dissimilar historical regulation undermines this court's holdings. This court's immediate interventions required to avoid compelled enforcement of regulations that are facially unconstitutional, the sheriffs say. So that's just the outline of what the sheriffs have to say in their filing with the U.S. Supreme Court in order for the U.S. Supreme Court to actually take that. But you also have a brief filed by Idaho and a whole bunch of other states. And this one's interesting as well. This came earlier this month as well, where you've got Indiana, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and the Arizona and Wisconsin legislatures in an amicus brief. So you've got these state legislators essentially saying, hey, you need to intervene in this. So the question is whether Illinois' sweeping ban on common and long lawful arms violates the Second Amendment. Then you look further at their table of contents and their arguments. The Second Amendment and the U.S. Supreme Court's decision supply a clear, principled method for determining what conduct's protected. The Seventh Circuit's pronouncements, the arms owned by millions of law-abiding Americans are not arms, defies logic. They go on to say the firearms at issue are arms under the Second Amendment's plain text. The Seventh Circuit's conclusion that militaristic weapons are not protected is wrong and illogical, they said. The Seventh Circuit's historical examples do not justify Illinois' total ban on common arms. So they say that the court's intervention is needed now. So again, that's various general assemblies and state legislatures from all of these different states, right? I mean, Indiana, Florida, Texas, Utah, Arizona, Wisconsin, all of these different legislatures filing an amicus brief saying that the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals is wrong in their decision against the state's plaintiffs seeking to have the gun and magazine ban reversed. So that's just one of the pleadings. And then you had another one from the Buckeye Institute filed, and also another from the American Firearms Association. So the briefs continue to stack up in the challenge now being requested for the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene. So fascinating to see all of that. But again, while that happens, you've got the Southern District of Illinois continuing on the merits. Because there's the difference between, and I'm not an attorney, I'm just a reporter who's been tracking this rather closely. There's a difference between addressing something on the merits, getting to the heart of the matter, versus preliminary steps, initial steps to say, we need action now to halt this while we deal with the heart of the issue. So I believe what the U.S. Supreme Court is looking at is whether or not they should intervene in that initial request for preliminary action, based off of the Seventh Circuit's U.S. Court of Appeals three-judge panel, that essentially two of those judges, the majority, said that, well, these arms are kind of militaristic, and there's a difference between civilian arms and military arms. But the plaintiff saying, and all of these amicus briefs saying, that defies logic from what the U.S. Supreme Court has previously said in Heller, and in the New York State Rifle Association versus Bruin. So that's where we're at in the grand scheme of the gun and magazine ban in the state of Illinois. We'll be tracking it, of course, but that's not the only case that you've got. You've got cases dealing with public transportation and whether people can carry firearms there. You've got cases about the FOID card, which is going to be interesting to see how those continue to move forward, and so much more. So be sure to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and we'll update you as stuff comes in when we see it. All right. Appreciate you guys. And email me anytime as well. Just email bishoponair@gmail.com. All right. bishoponair@gmail.com. state legislator wants to have a guaranteed income task force formed to look at the idea of guaranteed income for certain Illinoisans. What are your thoughts about that idea? Would love to hear from you with Bishop on Air. If you are listening live, you can join the Discord chat, which I'm opening up right now. If you follow the link at the bottom or go to bishoponair.com and click the Discord link, you can sound off on this issue. Yesterday, there was a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing that dealt with this measure, Senate Bill 3462. And if you click through on the article from the Center Square, you see proposal would have taxpayers fund statewide $1,000 monthly guaranteed income program. If you click through on that article and look at the legislation, Senate Bill 3462, you'll see the sponsor had a committee hearing and essentially an outline of what it says. And we'll just, as introduced, and I think this is important, this is as introduced. So this is the legislation that's in front of, as introduced, essentially sets up the Illinois Guaranteed Income Law. And it has a task force in it that would evaluate the efficacy of guaranteed income and improving outcomes for Illinois residents, proposed statewide policies to create and implement one or more permanent guaranteed income programs, and provide oversight related to the implementation of any guaranteed income program enacted by the General Assembly. Then it also goes through and talks about some of the provisions and guaranteed income for Illinois program that provides a monthly cash benefit of $1,000 to Illinois residents, regardless of immigration status, who provide care for children or other specified dependent, recently gave birth or adopted a child, is enrolled in an educational or vocational program, and contains provisions on qualifying life events, and so on. So that's as filed, all right? As filed. Now, there was an amendment filed, but the amendment has not been acted on. The amendment would simply take all of the, you know, provisions about $1,000 a month and instead just create a task force. So another task force would be created if this measure is amended and advanced. But they had a hearing yesterday to talk about this. And again, go to thecentersquare.com and you can read up on exactly what the proposal is, what some of the advocates are saying, but also what people who are pushing back have to say about this. So the bill is filed again. It says that a board would create this idea and they would implement it, but an amendment that was heard during subject matter in Chicago yesterday would focus on creating a task force and would not prescribe a dollar amount for what the payment would be. Now, Billy Vallum, State Senator Ron Billy Vallum, the sponsor of this, he couldn't say what the cost would be, either of the task force or of the overall idea, either way, the conversation started here. I did connect with Mike Bueller. He's the McHenry County Board Chairman, and he said, in his opinion, it's irresponsible to discuss this idea without knowing what the cost to taxpayers is. He also goes on to say that this would potentially cost tens of billions of dollars, and where's the state of Illinois going to be able to get that type of money? But there have been other pilot programs. In Chicago, there's a pilot program giving $500 a month to 5,000 low-income residents. That started in 2022. And also in 2022, you had state taxpayers fund a $3.6 million guaranteed income program for the Metro East St. Louis area. So that as well is kind of interesting to see where that's popping up. But clearly, this is something I think is going to get more attention as the legislature continues on into spring session. Your thoughts on this? You want to sound off? You can go to the Discord channel and have your voice heard there. Just go and join the link below, or you can go to bishoponair.com and click that link. You can have your voice heard on this or really anything else. So be sure to jump into the staging area where you can have your voice heard. Again, go to Discord. The links below on the live feed here, or you can check it out also at bishoponair.com, or you can email me bishoponair@gmail.com. You can send me a message on X, or if you're in the live feed right now in the stream, you can sound off here too. So Let's get to it. Warsaw, he is in the staging area. Let's see if we can pull him up to sound off and just go ahead and accept that. And whether or not we need to have this guaranteed income. And I think, too, it's important to note the difference between guaranteed income and universal basic income, because you'll hear that a lot, these two things, these two ideas. Universal basic income, guaranteed income, they're different, right? Guaranteed income, it would be similar to, you know, there's certain income thresholds you have to hit. Or as spelled out in this legislation, you'd have to recently had a child or enrolled in an educational program or something like that, and it would provide a guaranteed income. Where universal basic income would be everybody gets this, regardless. Here's this $500 check every month. Everybody gets UBI. That's not what's being proposed here at the General Assembly. Instead, again, it's just a task force they're talking about, but eventually it could lead to guaranteed income, which would be funded by taxpayers. So, Warsaw, thanks for taking time and jumping into the staging area. Would love to hear your thoughts on this and really anything else going on. Good morning. Oh, hold on, Warsaw. Let me unmute something here. And all right, I should be able to hear you now.
We're all good?
We're good. Thumbs up.
Thanks for the invite, man. No, Greg, this is absolutely disturbing. I think this is a cry of desperation. They're just trying to pull any strings to get appeasement, more votes. But as far as this whole idea of doing this for a financial system, it screams communism to me. Like, they're just going to be misrepresenting our funds and everything, dude. I mean, I don't know what I would call it. I call it Pritzkerism at this point. Like, Herr Burgermeister is up to his last gain of doing whatever he can to keep in office, I guess.
Well, and you got to think, too, there's already safety net programs out there, right? I mean, there's temporary assistance for needy families that already gives cash payments to families that meet certain thresholds. You've got the low-income housing energy program, LIHEAP, that grants individuals and senior citizens, for instance, living on fixed income to be able to afford their heating bills. You've got the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that is specifically for food. These dedicated safety net programs where the money that's involved goes directly to a specific thing, heating, food, maybe rental assistance. But this would be unrestricted cash. That's the term that was used yesterday at the hearing, unrestricted cash. And that means they could use it for whatever, vacation, school, soccer cleats, those types of things.
Yeah, man, I also want to point out, I don't know if you've noticed, but like every Democrat, especially Johnson, they always use the reference to the word equity. Like the past like 4 or 6 years, I've never heard of that term until they keep bringing that up, equity. The last time I've heard their actual terms they use for like diversity was equality. They always use the word equity. I looked it up on a Google search, and guess what? It's just about finances. It's just pretty much taking your dollar out and you take.
Warsaw, I think I'm getting a little blip of internet, or your internet is a little blippy. But if you could reiterate that. I think we may have lost Warsaw. Oh, it's too bad. He was revving up to make a good point. Ah, rats. I think we lost him. All right, let's see if we can get him back in. He raised his hand, invite to speak. All right, Warsaw, I think you're back into it now. Are you there? Live programming. I don't think I can hear you yet. But you know what? It looks like he dumped out. All right, Hippie, you're up next. Go ahead and accept that invite there, and let's hear your thoughts about this idea of guaranteed basic income. Looks like you're muted, buddy.
I'll go ahead.
All right, you're on.
All right. I think AOC warned us here a while back, didn't she, about they wanted to pay people who didn't want to work or couldn't work or whatever?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Yes.
Elaborate more on that. What does she have to say?
Well, she said a while back that we want to pay people who don't want to work. So now you look at what they're doing right now is they're coming up with all these programs to pay people a guaranteed income or a living wage, or, you know, government's getting involved with this stuff, and they're controlling our economies and our lives. We can't go out and get good paying jobs no more, so they raise up McDonald's pays to $14-15 an hour. Now they want to pay people who are sitting at home, and now they can spend the money however they want. That's AOC's plan from day one.
Well, and that's one of the concerns that opponents of this idea have, is they worry it could just ruin work productivity. Because if you're going to be paying somebody $500 a month, $1,000 a month with unrestricted cash that could be on top of any other social safety net programs, then what's the incentive, right? I think one of the things that was really difficult during COVID, getting people back to work whenever government lifted, you know, restrictions on how many people could be in a room. When people were expected to go back to work, they weren't, because they were getting enhanced unemployment, open-ended enhanced unemployment. And that was, killing work productivity.
Also, too, Greg, they did a little pilot program there of this work from home. You know? So basically, they don't want you leaving your house. You got Grubhub and Ubers and...
But all those Ubers and Grubhubs, those are people who are working. They're out there doing their deal. So, hey, Hippie, I appreciate it. Hippie, I appreciate it. I'm going to see if I can get Grandpa in here to see if he wants to sound off. Who is that? Grandpa Goob? Is it Grandpa Goober? Either way, go ahead and accept that invite and jump into the chat there. And if you want to sound off on this, you very well can. And anybody else who wants to as well, live, you can sound off just by clicking that Discord link and hopping in and accepting the invite. When you raise your hand, I'll click it for you, and then you can jump in. Grandpa Goober, take it away.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Just wondering, with these, you know, income deal, who's going to pay the taxes to pay the people that aren't working?
I mean, the taxpayers are.
Yeah, but if everybody doesn't want to work and you want to get the free income, who's going to pay the taxes to pay for that free income?
It's a conundrum. There's no question. I mean, listen, people are still going to be working. Work ethic is strong amongst many, and they want to go out and actually go to a job and be productive. There are entrepreneurs that want to create products for people to be able to go and purchase and to better their lives. One of the points that the proponents had to say about this was, hey, give this economic boost to these people, and it will actually come back around and help stabilize the economy, and you can get some of that money back because they're going to be spending it in the community, so you'll get sales taxes and other taxes. But is that really going to offset the amount that it's going to cost to fund this program? I don't know if that's been shown yet.
Well, not only that, with that low income they're going to be receiving, how are they going to pay to live in a home or rent a house or anything? How are we going to have to pay for that also?
I mean, listen, rental assistance is already a thing that's available for people. Again, you got SNAP, you've got LIHEAP, you've got TANF, these social network, these social safety nets programs that are available for people. So, I mean, clearly there's... there's a lot of unanswered questions about all of this. And I think that's why they want a task force. Instead of just jumping right on in and saying $1,000 a month to these class of individuals, they're taking a little step back and they're saying, okay, maybe we just have a task force discuss this first to see how it best can be implemented. But that task force already has a predetermined outcome, right? They're already kind of like gauged towards, oh, we're going to make this happen.
Well, now they're giving illegal so much. Are they going to include the illegals in that list too? Because
the bill as filed says regardless of immigration status.
Yeah, see, that's just that. It's going to dump so hard on the taxpayer that we are not going to be even bringing home a livable wage if we pay the taxes.
Yeah, and that's something else too that opponents said, and I appreciate you chiming in, Grandpa Goober. That's something else the opponent said, is if this does include individuals regardless of immigration status, then you could see more of an incentive to come to Illinois for more handouts, unrestricted cash handouts at that. All right, Warsaw, one last little bit here. Let's go ahead and pull you up. I know that you're either my internet or your internet. I'll give you 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
Thanks. Sorry before I got cut off. I was going to bring up a point. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but like, I've been noticing a trend here with the Democrats. Like, they always use the term equity. And the last time I've ever heard that is brand new to me. Since last time I've never even heard this was they use the word equality for diversity. Then right. The word equity is always brought attention, and I looked it up, and it's just misrepresenting your tax dollars, and they keep taking it from you.
Yeah, and I mean, there is clearly a difference between equity and equality. Equality is everybody on the same playing field. Equity is giving certain individuals who may not be up to a certain par a boost to bring them up, if not elevate them more. So, interesting stuff when you really get down to the issue of how words are defined. Appreciate you, Warsaw. All right, guys, that's all I got for you today here with Bishop on Air. Greatly appreciate it, as always. And it's a key reason why you should be watching live every morning, so you can jump into the Discord and take part in the live chat that people are having as well. So be sure to like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell, all right? It's Bishop on Air. All right, guys, that's all I got for you today. Appreciate it. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of headlines that happen. But clearly, you want to be sure to subscribe to Illinois in Focus from America's Talking Network. Myself and my colleagues, we put together a lot of content throughout the week with the Center Square, and it's a way for us to bring everything together every week to talk about what's going on in Illinois. So Illinois in Focus, all right, subscribe. New episodes Friday mornings, all right, Illinois in Focus. I will talk to you guys then, so be sure to subscribe to Illinois in Focus to get that Friday podcast each and every Friday, all right, it's right here. On the intertubes. Have yourselves a great day, and we'll see you back here next week. I'm going to take Fridays off. I think I'm going to... there's a lot of work doing this. Unless something crazy breaking happens and there's massive movements on a lot of stuff, we'll get you some content out over the weekend. But listen, I'm doing this on my home turf. You know, it's my home office. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in and all the support. It's good to... good to kind of, you know, take a breather every once in a while. So have a great day, great weekend. Follow me on X. It's the best way to stay up to date. Bishop on Air. Just search it out. We can connect that way. All right. Peace out, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.